strike the shepherd and scatter the flock. The disciples are at edge. Their fellowship cannot bear the events that are about to unfold. Though each of them vehemently confess otherwise, they don't have the strength, the determination, nor even the moral integrity to follow their Lord into death. Not yet. Not tonight. Tonight, fear and uncertainty grip their hearts. Tonight, one will betray their master and another will deny him. Tonight, they will all fall away because of what they see and what they feel and what they experience. So tonight, Jesus gathers with his disciples. The place has been prepared. The lamb has been sacrificed. The fellowship gathers around the table. Our night tonight is not much different than theirs. They recline in peace as their Lord joins them for a meal which he has long desired to share. He is with them. They are with him. The fellowship is gathered around their Lord, and their Lord is sharing with them a meal. Jesus delights in his beloved, even in Peter, even in Judas, even in you. His love knows no bounds. But this meal is more than just a time of remembrance, more than just a reason to get together, more than just a time for communal warm fuzzies. We would do well to take notice. Jesus shares his word. His word reveals their hearts. One of you, he says, will betray me. Their hearts are not right, and they know it. Is it I, Lord, they ask? They know the truth. We know the truth. Jesus' words to them could be his words to us as well. No one points fingers, not even Jesus. Jesus knows the truth. Jesus knows the one. Betrayal is in the heart of every one of them. In the heart of every one of us. For we share the same nature. We bear the same condition and we live in the same world. We're no better and they're no worse. Sin is our first love. And it's a difficult thing to surrender your first love. Like Israel in the wilderness, there's always something about the pleasures of Egypt that pulls on our hearts. Even though we've been wooed by another love, one which has become flesh and dwelt among us, one which has drawn near to us and brought health and healing through word and deed, we often find ourselves peering back, reminiscing about days gone by. We remember the fun we had before we settled down. We remember our indecent indulgences before we got hitched. And even afterwards, we think back of life before the kids. But we forget. We forget the loneliness brought on by our vanity. The friends we hurt. The people we manipulated. The souls we neglected. We forget all the rivalries and the envies and the dissensions and the jealousies. We forget the emptiness that we felt when we thought we were making memories. Memories which really only yearbooks and Throwback Thursday seem to recall. We forget all the hangovers, the guilt, and the shame of sins gone by. We forget that we weren't happy with our sin, that we were actually oppressed, that we longed for something more, something meaningful, something deeper than the shallow pleasures Egypt and this world have to offer. Yes, we've changed over time, but we haven't changed completely, have we? The good we want to do, we don't do, and the evil we don't want to do, we still do it. Some in deeds, and others in the hiddenness of their hearts. We remember with fondness the wrong things, and we forget what we should regret. So we have need of preparation for this meal. And such preparation isn't about who sits where or who sets the table or what sort of meal is to be provided. For us Christians, preparation comes by examination. Mm-hmm. The Lord has spoken his word. He's taken note of the betrayal in our heart. He calls us to repent, to wash before we eat. And rather than chase away the betrayer and send off the denier, rather than scold his disciples and wag the finger, Jesus instead gives us a good word. You see, he draws our attention away from ourselves, away from our sin, our life, our old life, and he directs us instead to himself. In the midst of a meal, Jesus takes bread and breaks it. He blesses it with his word, and he takes the cup and he does the same. Bread is now his body, and the wine is now his blood. And these are given for us Christians to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of our sins. Through these, Jesus draws nearer than before. Through these, Jesus does more than just give us something to remember. He gives us himself. He loves us with himself. He covenants with us, makes a promise to us, pledges within us the resurrection of our bodies and the life everlasting on the last day. The word enters the ear and the mouth and the heart and the soul. The promises of God are given for us to eat and to drink. The sacrifice of God is delivered to us for the delivering of our souls from the bondage of sin, death, and devil and hell. All is given freely from the heart of God for us to receive by faith. Faith clings to the word and promises of God. Faith remembers the words and the cost. His cross, an empty tomb. Faith remembers the night he was betrayed, and faith takes note of his words at the table. Faith remembers as faith eats real bread with his real resurrected body and drinks real wine with his real resurrected, life-giving, enemy-destroying, devil-chasing, heart-cleansing blood. Real food for real sinners, receiving real gifts through a real promise from a very real Savior. Nothing, beloved, nothing in this meal is symbolic. Not the giver nor the food. It is as real as Jesus' death and resurrection, and it is for you. So what is the fruit of such a meal? Nothing less than eternal life and salvation. But where sin divided us and brought about dissensions and jealousies and envy and loneliness, Holy Supper not only undoes sin's work, but works healing in the heart of the individual and in our communion, our tiny fellowship. For this meal is a holy communion. Not only are we united to Christ's death and resurrection for us, but we are also united to each other in him. For as St. Paul says by the Holy Spirit, "For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread." Mm-hmm. We are reconciled to one another, which is why we ought not come with a grudge in our hearts. We are forgiven of our sins, which is why we shouldn't approach in unrepentance, clinging to our sin as Israel clung to Egypt's pleasures. And we are joined together in a holy koinonia, a fellowship united in doctrine. Which is why those of another confession, those who do not believe Jesus' words in the sacrament or believe differently than this fellowship gathered around this altar, they are unable to eat and drink with us at this time. They have a different doctrine and are not united with us. And we, being united together by such a gracious and merciful testament, we find in our communion a family in the midst of a world full of broken families. Mm-hmm. We find a remedy for the loneliness which sin often brings. We find comfort in the brethren, the holy company of believers who share the burden of our nature and rejoice in the one and same Savior. We're not alone, but we travel through this wilderness with others who have been given us to love and encourage, even as we have been given to them for the same. Love in the Lord, this evening as you approach the altar of our Lord, forsake the pleasures of this world, and remember not the call of your first love, but consider him who humbly loves you, gives himself to you in this supper. Do not be like ancient Israel, who loathed the bread that came down from heaven and coveted leeks and onions from Egypt. But doing this in remembrance of him, we recall the wondrous salvation that he has purchased for you through his death and resurrection. Repent of your sins and receive the covenant of blood on your lips. And then, empowered by his gifts of grace, love one another. Eating and drinking his eternal gifts will bear fruit in your heart, strengthen your faith, and in so doing, beloved, you will proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, and Christ will be with you, and you will be with Christ. For such is his delight, to be with the ones he loves. I pray it is also yours. Amen. Peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.